Big news! Wayfair's Black Friday sale is here, early. Right now at Wayfair, get up to 70% off everything you need for the season ahead. Save on kitchen and dining, bedroom furniture and mattresses, holiday decor, and way more. Now is the time to score big, from seasonal finds to favorites you'll use all year long. Plus, with Wayfair, enjoy fast and easy shipping, with delivery in time for the holidays. Save up to 70% off early Black Friday deals. Shop now at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
The Hard Shoulder, with the MG Hybrid and Electric range, celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.
Winners and sinners on The Hard Shoulder.
This is Winners and Sinners, where we look back on the week that was, but with a few twists. I'm delighted to say that this week I'm joined by broadcaster Megan Scully and by comedian Jim Elliott. You're both very welcome to the show. So we pick winners and sinners. Sometimes they're stories people are familiar with. Sometimes there might be a story that somebody has missed. Your first winner of the week is the Collins Word of the Year, which came out, and it is...
vibe coding.
Sorry, what?
Yeah, I kind of was going, what's vibe coding? I'd like to think I'm fairly active in social media and kind of, you know, fairly active in all
But that's
things.
A niche thing, though. That's a real tech worker type of thing. Real startup culture sort of vibe coding.
Yeah, what is it?
So vibe coding refers to the process of turning natural language into computer code using AI.
Yeah.
Still don't really understand it, though.
Well, it's like, okay, so you got an idea for an app or a database or some kind of thing that you would like to build. Now, normally what you'd have to do is spend a couple years learning Python or SQL or some other computer language and build the thing that you want to build. Vibe coding is you sit down in front of ChatGPT and you go, build me an app, I want it to do this. And it spits out the code for you.
Oh, so that's what, okay.
That's what vibe coding is.
I always thought it was a word that had sort of become popular, that was sort of in the everyday lexicon of people. I've never
like
heard
vibing.
Vibe coding. I've heard vibing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've heard coding. I've never heard vibe coding before.
Well, first off, Collins, hey, Mr. Dictionary, that's two words. Vibe coding
True.
Is two words. A phrase of the year. Sure.
This Complaints like, at collinsdictionary.com. Here Jim comes.
I got a real bone to pick with the dictionaries here, because they did this a month ago where some other, I forget which dictionary it was, came out with their word of the year, and their word of the year was 6-7. Blank faces.
Because, no, I got it. It's
anybody got teenagers
Taylor
listening
Swift.
To the Taylor
Travis,
Swift?
Travis Kelce.
No, oh. 6-7. Oh man, if there's people who have young teenagers
Wasn't
listening,
right?
they're
no,
going nuts right
oh,
now.
Oh, sorry. Hold on. My
you guys
friend's
don't know what I'm talking
husband
about.
Did up the house for Halloween, and yeah. on the side of it was a big 6-7.
Big 6-7. Did you not ask him what that was?
Yeah, and they responded, and I just can't remember.
Okay, well, it's a swingers code. Your friend is
oh,
a swinger. No, I'm kidding. That's a joke. That is a joke.
He did it for his children.
No,
so I don't
it's
think
a meme.
So.
It's what the kids are just saying to each other. It's nothing but internet slang with no greater meaning. There's nothing pornographic behind it. There's nothing sexual. It's not dirty. It's not like 6-9 nice. It's not that. It's just 6-7. It was a verbal quote from a basketball player that just somebody was asking him, like, how tall was the guy guarding him? He went 6-7, and it just that little cadence that he delivered it with, it then got clipped and dropped into a hip hop song that went viral on TikTok, and now all the kids will just yell 6-7 at each other to the bane of the existence of teachers across the land, because they all think it's hilarious.
Is that sort of like what's up of the 90s?
Yes,
was that
exactly,
the 90s or
exactly.
noughties? I don't remember. One of my decades.
It's another meme. It's 6-7, but vibe coding is another one. That this is two words dictionary. You can't take a phrase and make it your word of the year.
I see some of the other words that didn't make it but were up there as options. Clanker, glaze, aura farming.
I love clanker. Clanker's a great one. Clanker is derogatory slang for AI.
Oh, I completely thought it was something different. I thought
a clanger, but no, it's not that. Clanker. Yeah, no, you're right. It is that.
Yeah,
it is
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's for when it's like I tried to call into customer service. I got some stupid clanker on the line trying to ask me questions like it's a person.
Oh, like a robot.
Mm-hmm. And here's the thing. 10 years from now, when the robots are all in charge, that sound bit is going to get me canceled for racism. Anti-robot racism.
Who coined vibe coding? Do we know?
It doesn't say. It just says that it It just says it's Collins picked it up, and then it's the use of artificial intelligence and coding.
Yep. Do we know how they even decide on the words?
It's like that, I think, something that goes it just viral,
came,
isn't
yeah,
it?
It just came out of people tweeting about it, where somebody goes, hey, I built a new application over the weekend, and they go, oh my God, did you have to learn C++ or Fortran or something to get this live? And like, nah, I just vibe coded it, brother. Just vibe coded. I'm microdicing mushrooms.
It, because of your accent, you can pull
it's a California
it off.
Thing.
I feel like when you say it, I'm going, that sounds really
vibe coding.
Vibe
and Donegal is just not quite the same.
Always like vibe coding.
You had a word, what would your word be if you wanted to see it recognized?
Oh, I'm trying to think. There's been one of those new dating terms that came out recently. It's not breadcrumbing. There's been a more recent one, and I can't think for the life of me now at the top of my head. But there's one that's come out again, and it's just like causing more problems.
Shrekking.
Is that what it is? Yes, that's the one, isn't it? I just feel like every week there's a new dating
Shrekking.
Code.
What does that mean?
When they're like...
I think I know what that means.
It's kind of like something to do with...
It's really mean.
Oh, where you date somebody ugly. My producer's just telling me Shrekking.
Yeah.
That's lousy.
When you deliberately date ugly people, you're Shrekking for the weekend.
Or like people use like these terms, like what's that? And it's like, oh, it's the latest dating or lack of dating terminology. And I'm like, oh, can we not just say like, I don't know,
as if dating culture is not poisonous enough. Shrekking and breadcrumbing. Ugh.
Oh, okay. When it comes to AI, do you recoil or do you embrace?
I embrace for certain things. I don't mind it. Like take vibe coding, for example. That's a great example because the large language models are all being trained on GitHub repositories. And so there's a wealth of material for them. Hey, I need to come up with a query to do my database like this. Just vibe code it. Just ask AI. They'll know it. Now, when people are using AI to like be their own therapist, that's a bad idea. Or their own best friend or their own girlfriend. That's terrible. And that'll turn you insane real fast. So I'm pro in some places.
The funny thing is, so I saw someone last night on Instagram had this thing. It's like, have you asked ChatGPT this question? And I don't actually use it, but it was, what's my curse? And then you say, don't explain in brackets. So then the reply I got, because they got a reply and I read theirs.
What's
I got a completely
curse?
Different one. Restless insight.
Sorry, how do they know this?
So then I said, please explain, because apparently that's what you're meant to ask next, and said, restless insight means you have a deep, persistent need to understand things, people, patterns, truths, but the same awareness never lets you fully rest. Your mind keeps digging, questioning, seeing connections others miss, yet it can make peace and simplicity just out, make feel just out of reach. So I was going, oh my God, that's me. I kind of constantly am coding in my head.
So ChatGPT just diagnosed you with an anxiety disorder? Is that what we're saying?
Well, I probably could diagnose myself, to be honest.
I am going to do that. So I am, but I'm not going to tell you the results unless they're really, really positive. Okay, your winner this week was the blue wave that
I couldn't narrow it down to any single person. I mean, obviously, the headlines are the new mayor of New York City and Zoran, and the new governor in Virginia and the new governor in New Jersey. Governor of Virginia, Abigail Spanberger. I was talking to my sister last night. She lived in Virginia, and she was going, you know, that's the first time we've elected a female governor in Virginia. And I'm thinking to myself, that's a bad sign when it's 2025 and somebody gets elected to any office and one of the headlines is, hey, that's the first time we've had a woman do that.
Yeah, but guess what? We'll take it.
Yeah, it's taken us a while to get there. So, but it's funny because you look at these overall geographical maps of New Jersey and Virginia, and they'll put an arrow on there, the blue to the left, red to the right, talking about voting patterns in that specific county. And both of them, the entire state is just one big blue arrow going to the left.
But I suppose the big question is this sort of a genuine shift in that direction again? Or is it a bit of a midterm reckoning, which generally the president has come to expect?
I mean, the president always kind of takes it in the mouth, just gets punched in the mouth after any election. So there's always a swing back to the middle. And that's what I'm worried about with this. I am worried that this is a giant backlash to what's going on out of the White House these days. And the Democrats are going to think, oh, wow, we're popular again and we can't lose, because I will always trust the Democrats to lose an unlosable race. The people tripping over their own feet, you belong in the Democratic Party. So we'll see what happens in the midterms.
I did see one commentator on the Channel 4 News say, you know what, when we see a big swing in a Republican state, then maybe we're seeing a shift away from Donald Trump. But, you know, a big swing for the Democrats in New York.
Yeah. I mean, there were a couple. There was a school board in Oklahoma, the reddest of the red states, that now has a Democratic majority on it. But it's, you know, small local election. So we'll see what happens. But that's, look, It's if you're a Democrat or a progressive of any kind, it's been bad news for the last 2 years. So go ahead and take the good vibes for a week, but don't let it get complacent. That's all I'm saying there.
I did see Donald Trump speaking after all the election wins, and he does what he always does. He said, "Oh, the first problem was the shutdown, mm-hmm. and the second problem was my name wasn't on the ballot."
But
amazing way to turn it around as he does to
and
say
make it all about him.
Make it all about him. If I had been running, I would have been the winner here. It's the people that we put front and center. It's an incredible skill, actually.
Well, you kind of have to admire him that he can always turn the spotlight back onto himself, and he just has a way. But it's interesting looking at the New York vote as well, because I've seen so many people like getting so much hate on social media for the which way they voted and everything. And I think there's an awful lot of hatred over there. But like fair and square, they've won. So it's kind of like what people like the Republicans obviously are quite upset. But it's like, well, what do you expect? The Democrats turned up, mm-hmm. or else maybe people is like. Do they switch allegiance much? Maybe people are like, you know, we're sick of what's going on. We want to see change. And that's clearly what's happening, which I think, you know, I've heard an awful lot of people like would say, for example, you know, like the likes of going on a J1. Hmm. I've heard people saying that their children just didn't go this year to America, and they've decided to go for like the Southeast Asia backpacking because they're actually afraid to go to America because they're afraid that they could maybe, if you even accidentally overstay by a couple of hours, they're afraid. They were saying, what happens if we end up in a prison somewhere off outside America and we're stuck there? So, you know, you mean surely they're seeing that change.
You mean to tell me having van loads of unidentified masked agents grabbing mothers off sidewalks and throwing them in the back of a van, that's not the greatest PR for the J1 program? Color me shocked.
Let's look at just one final thing that was a winner for you this week, Megan, the Breaking Bad star Aaron Paul telling a tech conference about the moment he realised his smartphone was compromising his relationship.
Yeah, I thought this was really interesting. He said a 6-year-old daughter came in, she's like, daddy, daddy. And he just was like, oh, he was too busy responding to an email to like speak to his own daughter. And like, then it just kind of made him realize, he's like, this is really affecting me. And like, we all know how detrimental our phones are. Like, they're obviously great. Like, we use them every day for work and for everything. But it is so important to put the phone down and away. And I think like, you'd even see in relationships like that it does become part of it. Like, I went away 2 weeks ago by myself to, where did I go? In Mallorca. I was in Mallorca. I took myself away for a few days. And when I was there, I actually obviously was going to restaurants on my own went down to watch a bit of music. And what I observed was the amount of couples sitting on their phones. And I remember sitting there thinking, wow, like they're not even speaking to each other. And like, maybe they're just happy to sit in their phones. But I kind of observed a few different couples, and I was there having like starters, main desserts, and I wasn't in a rush. So I was kind of just sitting back, and I consciously tried to stay off my own phone, even though I was on my own, because I wanted to kind of take it all in. But sure, all I was doing was looking at people on their phones. And I kind of thought, gosh, I kind of felt like everyone looked a little bit unhappy.
Now, I will say, I used to watch those couples in restaurants too and be like, oh my God, imagine being together that long that you've actually run out of things to say to each other, that you're just sitting on your phone or in silence. Now that I have 2 young children, I completely understand what it is to go out and to just be with your partner, but actually be really happy not to communicate for a while.
I'm sorry, I wasn't listening. I was scrolling Twitter. No, but he's right though. These things they have a hold on us. Like, you want to get terrified? Open up your phone, go to settings, and look at your screen time monitor. How many hours a day do you think that phone is on? I'm not
too many.
I'm not reading my number out. It's a source of deep shame.
Oh, it is awful, because I find mine has shot up actually in the last week or two, and I can't understand. I'm trying to be better, but yeah, it is, and they take over our lives. Funny enough, my screen time was down when I was away. On
Good.
My own.
That's what you're supposed to do.
I have to make an effort to like not be on my phone.
That's impressive. I know. I am conscious about the example we're setting the kids too. It's not great. Anyway, look, we need to go and take the news, but we will be back with our sinners after that. Here's Eamon Torresney. You're very welcome back to Winners and Sinners with Megan Scully and Jim Elliott. Let's do the sinners first. This was a piece that went viral this week, Megan, a woman who complained in an Agony Aunt column that her son is too Irish. Now, what exactly was her problem?
Well, he is like, I think his grandparents, he had one grandparent who was Irish, and she just said he's just being too Irish. He's calling himself by his Irish name, and he's learning the Irish language, which I think is absolutely phenomenal. And I find it really bizarre because they have Irish connections, they have Irish blood, therefore he can probably qualify for an Irish passport. And she's complaining that he's too Irish and that the husband is English and very English, and it's an issue for her, and it has caused and sparked controversy, because I think, you know, with the whole relationship, and you know, when anyone online, any Irish actor or musician gets called British. We absolutely, you know, we're straight on it. We're like, they're not British.
One of my favorite
Irish.
Pylons to see. Yeah. I love seeing every Olympics. The BBC is good for one of those.
Oh, and you know what? I think the Daily Mail do it on purpose because they know they'll get the hits and then they get the stats and then it works out in their favor. So that's why I think they do it. But yeah, so the mother herself was half Irish on the father's side. So like you think then, because most people who have Irish either parents or grandparents in the UK usually grow up in inverted commas, Irish.
Mm.
You know, you look at the likes of Ed Sheeran, like he is so into his Irish roots and his Irish heritage. Actually, anyone, like I've met people when I lived in London and they might have a great, great, great grandparent. I actually met a girl on that holiday and her surname is O'Kelly.
Ah.
And she's totally clinging to that and she barely has any, like she can't even remember how far back her connections go. But she's like...
I wonder if this is a smaller issue than at first glance, because I saw that story and it was the line that jumped out at me was the one that you just read there, where the mother was upset about it. And then she mentioned that the child's father was English. And I'm thinking to myself, well, hang on a second. Is this a global identity statement that this teenager is making? Or is this just a kid trying to piss off his dad because he's 15 and that's a 15-year-old's job?
Yeah, but the dad doesn't sound like he's annoyed. It's the mum that's annoyed by this.
The mum's reading in, but the father is English. He's rejecting his father. That's what he's doing.
But all he's embracing is his Irish name, the Irish version of his name, and learning Irish. That's it. He's not like out doing Irish dancing and what else.
He's putting fathers on every vowel in the name.
What's the cap? The Peaky Blinders cap? What's that?
The paddy cap?
Yeah, the paddy cap.
Is that a slur? Am I allowed to call it that? It's a flat cap, is it not?
I think I think it's Peaky Blinders works. But he wants to attend university here as well, he's saying. But I just can't understand. I wonder, is the mother speaking on behalf of the father? Is it actually the father now going, will you tell that young lad there now to pipe down and, you know, cut that now? And she's probably going, oh, how do I stop it? But like, look, it's gone viral now and everyone's talking about it. But you never, like, I see anyone wanting to play down their Irishness. It's like, you know, if anything, everyone wants to be louder about it.
Yeah, because you guys
What's offensive about being Irish? Sorry.
Global brand.
How very dare you?
The most successful brand that's going in nationalities. To be Irish is to be welcome everywhere. And everyone's like, oh, you're Irish. You like to drink and you're a good conversationalist and you're usually pretty progressive and on the right side of history. Come on over here. Like, why? Who wouldn't want to be that?
Is there an aspect of Irish or Irishness or Irish nature that bugs you, Jim?
I'm not going to go on the net. I have to live here. What do you want me to do? You want me to come
on? It's
only
the three of us talking.
Okay. You know what I don't like? I don't like the lack of self-esteem out of Irish people. It causes them to downplay their own achievements. So, like, you'll read a news article with, I don't know, pick an Irish runner that is a world champion marathoner, and you know, instead of talking about how they dedicated their life and trained and worked really hard, they'll go, I like a bit of running now, and you know, they'll just be like, ah, you know, sure, don't look at me, little old me. Sometimes you got to big yourself up and go, no, I'm
well,
the champion.
A really
I worked hard
one.
At it. I like it. So I would like to see more of that.
That's like somebody saying, "What's your greatest fault?" And you're like, "Oh, I'm just so, I'm just a perfectionist." You're like, really?
Yeah.
Your biggest fault.
Yeah. Sometimes I try too hard.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Sometimes I'm just too giving.
What's the aspect of Irish character that you don't like?
Well, I think we are brilliant at being self-deprecating, but then sometimes when it comes to the Irishness, we're really sensitive.
Ooh.
Yes. Oh, very sensitive. Oh, so sensitive. It's to a detriment, actually. I'm far too sensitive. That's what I'm saying. When I read that piece out from ChatGPT, I analyse everything that's said to me. If someone says something in passing, I'll go, what do they mean there now? Do that actually have more an intent? Do they actually mean this? And then suddenly I spiral.
Does
and I'm
everybody
going,
hate me? Do you come home after a social gathering and just do a post-match analysis and be like, oh, that person hates me. That was a stupid thing to say. That I embarrassed myself there. Blah, 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 blah. Do you do that?
Well, it's something I've worked on. It's something I've actually actively had to work on to make myself thick-skinned. But like even now on social media, like I've been called certain names and gotten a bit of like slack. But then I was like,
I'm sorry. I didn't realize you were going to read those comments.
I think a lot of women have that, actually.
That's it,
they do. Yeah. But you know what my dad once said to me? Analysis paralysis. And I thought it was absolutely brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
So once you stop analysing yourself, because you actually paralyze yourself if you're doing that all the time.
Mm.
And it's something we should all stop doing. Has your parent ever had a ridiculous complaint about you, Jim, or Megan, would you say?
I can tell you the first one real easy. My mom doesn't like that I moved to Ireland. Nothing against Ireland.
You abandoned
she just
her.
Wants me. She still sends me real estate listings from her neighborhood.
Aww.
She'd be like, oh, this house on the corner is for sale now. I was thinking that you could move over. I'm like, I have a wife and a job and a career here. I'm sorry, but thank you.
What would yours be, Megan?
And it's so funny. It would probably be my lack of confidence in some areas. my mother is like she pretty much is a mamager. So she actually is very good for pushing me. And she's like, you need to push yourself more. You need to like, have you spoken to this person now that I've moved up to Dublin? She's like, have you reached out to this person? Have you reached out? Have you done this? And she kind of has to constantly stay on my back because I'll go to send an email. And then it's like this kind of inner lack of confidence almost gets me. And then I kind of panic and then I just don't. And yeah, that's something that I have to kind of, again, work on. Mm. And it's interesting because I obviously work in media. I'm on radio, I'm on TV. But then it's like this inner little voice. Is
and
like,
people would be so surprised to hear that, yeah, Megan. Particularly given the industry that you've chosen.
Yeah, I know. It doesn't kind of make sense in some senses. But then I love what I do. But then I'm not really good at backing myself. So I kind of have to, you know, big myself up more. And like, there's a lot of, like, I often speak to people in the industry and they're like, oh yeah, no, I emailed this person, I called this person, I had coffee with this person. And I'm going, okay, so each week now I'm up here, I'm making an effort to reach out to someone and then follow up.
Well, I remember I was asked to do prize giving at my secondary school. This is maybe 10 years ago. And they said, will you, you know, just make a speech, I suppose, about what you've learned in life 25 years on and, you know, pick a theme. And my theme was confidence, actually. And I said, if I had one thing
that I could say
to myself in, you know, in this assembly hall 25 years ago is be more confident.
Somebody's going to do it, man. Why not you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, your sinner this week.
Very
specific
one.
And this is something
one
that we have covered on the programme because we had Ailish McCarthy, the comedian in here,
yep,
who's been lobbying
brilliant
really hard in this area.
Oh, the work that she's put in. My hat, if I were wearing a hat, I would doff it at the mention of her name. But I want to call out Patrick O'Donovan, Minister for the Arts. So here's the thing. It's Arts Council funding for comedians, an issue near and dear to my heart. The Arts Act in 2003 talks about funding for various areas of the arts, and they enumerate them explicitly: theater, literature, music, dance, opera, film, circus, and architecture. Comedy is not on that list. So if you submit any sort of application for funding and it has the word comedy in it, it goes straight into the bin. Get out of town. Comedy is an art form every bit as worthy of support as music, dance, opera, film, circus, literature, theater, music, architecture. Like, get out. Comedy belongs on that.
But why do you think it is seen as a less serious art form?
Well, because it's funny, first of all. It's the same reason there's no Oscar for best comedy, even though every Oscar-winning actor will tell you that comedy is harder to do than drama. You want to make people
cry? I
think
there's a Golden Globe, isn't there, section for best comedy?
Yeah, big deal. One Golden Globe. Give us the big boy. Give us the Oscar. Don't patronize me with your globes. But that's the thing. We're not asking for more funding. We're not asking for a restructure of the Arts Council. We're not asking for any of that. We're just asking to be included as comedians. Like, come on, man. People, it's one of the things Irish people excel at. The funding and support needs to be there. Or you can just be happy with every half-decent comedian when they talk to a veteran comedian and go, hey, man, I'm trying to take that next jump in my career. They'll say, well, first thing to do is move to London. So great, we're going to lose everybody. Yeah. Thanks.
So the decision is to delay this.
Delay it for 18 months. Why? Just add the word into, they're saying, okay, well, we got to have an expert advisory committee. They're going over the governance structure and the rhythms of the Arts Council. Great, go ahead and do that. But you don't need to wait for that to be over just to have comedians' applications not immediately get thrown away when they apply.
I kind of think the public would support this, and they would support the idea of comedians just being recognised as a form of art that could apply for, no guarantee, but just even apply for Arts Council funding.
Well, as you said, like, we need comedians. Like, how often do you go home, maybe, or if you get back from a really busy day and you might throw your favourite comedy sketch up on like YouTube or something, or you'll watch someone, or like, I follow quite a few comedians. Actually, this year at Electric Picnic, I spent majority of my time at the comedy tent, and it was probably the first year I gave that much time to the comedy tent, and I absolutely loved it. And I was like, why didn't I spend more time here? I got to sit down and laugh and laugh and laugh, and it just was one of my most enjoyable moments of EP this year. And I followed loads of comedians since, and then I was going, well, I want to go see all these shows. My friend and I have made a note of who we want to go see now. And
didn't
I
help
was like,
but notice you don't follow me on Instagram. Jim Elliot Comedy. I'm on every platform. I'm going to be in the Cracked End Comedy Club
all
next
wrap
week.
Up the
come see
here,
some comedy, man. Support live comedy. Come see it.
Okay, let's take a quick break.
Ignition sequence start.
This is the last bit of the show.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, all engine running. Liftoff, we have a liftoff.
You're welcome back. Megan Scully and Jim Elliott still with me for this week's Winners and Sinners. What else caught your eye this week, Megan?
In terms of sinners, I guess it's the DJ Carey story that's just everywhere at the moment. And I think what's really got me is the hearing the stories from families affected by cancer. People who've lost their loved ones, people who have gone through treatment, people who are currently in treatment. And even I heard on one of the radio shows how some couple had given money towards him, and the wife herself, I think, was going through what she thought was the same diagnosis. So it's just harrowing to think that it went that far, and just what the people of Ireland suffered. Because, you know, like it or not, we put GA players on a pedestal. It's just the way it is in Ireland. Mm-hmm. They're kind of given this like adoring. They're like, people just adore them. That's the only way I could put it. Like, I don't know, you've probably seen how GA and hurling footballers, it's like...
You hear a lot more about it outside of Dublin than you do in Dublin. But people will go, I'm from this town in this county, and there was one guy I went to school with who made senior hurling, and this guy walks on water in this town. There's not a job he won't get. There's not a loan he won't get. There's not a girl didn't want to date him. So yeah, I'm familiar with the... It's high school football in Texas.
Yes,
if you're a high school football star in Dallas, you can run for governor in 10 years. You'll win.
Why he was able to dupe people, wasn't
he? Yeah.
People trusted him so much, but it was such a betrayal of what people had invested in him.
And I think that's what kind of was the heartbreak, because we do trust GA players. Like, I've known so many of them throughout the years, and they like are such great people, and they've worked so hard at their craft, and they also obviously have jobs, and you know, there is a trust there. And you know, you see them when they win the All Ireland, they go around to all the schools and the hospitals and the nursing homes, and what it means to a club or a county to win. It just brings so much pride and joy and happiness, and it just, the GA is so ingrained in our culture. But that's the thing, problem with here was that he broke trust.
So what was the other things that you spotted this week?
Something I spotted this week. So I'm not a Gaelic fan. I'm a huge basketball fan. And I was watching the Boston Celtics play the Washington Wizards. That's my hometown team. They're terrible, but they're getting better. Anyway, this superstar on the Boston Celtics, guy by the name of Jaylen Brown, brings the ball down the lane, ducks his head, knocks his head off the chest of another player, and when they separate, there's a giant black mark on the jersey of the other player, because Jaylen Brown is combating hair loss by using that spray-on hair to shore up his hairline. And it's happened in a couple of games this year where it's a contact sport, and it'll run into somebody, and they come away with black ink all over them. So that got me thinking about, geez, the lengths dudes who are losing their hair will go to cover it up. And I'm in that boat, man. You guys can't see me, but I've got a big bald spot. My temples are receding. And I look at this stuff. You wouldn't believe the amount of social media advertisements I get for hair transplants and this serum and that serum and this red light therapy. You strap a hockey helmet to your head that's got red lights on the inside, and the spray-on stuff and some stuff that's dry. You shake it out of a can.
What was the reaction to this guy using this spray-on?
Everybody's clowning him.
Oh, really?
Everybody's clowning him. I do like seeing that, like, okay, I'm struggling with hair loss. I'm not super comfortable with it. But you know what? So's LeBron James, and that guy's a billionaire. So it comes for us all.
Do people not have sympathy for a guy like that? Okay, as you say.
I mean, I do, because I'm fighting the same fight.
But millionaire, really successful. He's obviously self-conscious about it. Give the guy a break.
Yeah, he is. But I didn't realize that the dye was like running onto other people as well. So I'm surprised, because if he has that much money and he's that self-conscious,
that's what I'm saying,
about it, he can go to
Turkey,
anywhere.
Brother. Like, is this really the best solution? Is that all there is for us? We can put a man on the moon, but we don't have a pill that can give me a full head of hair?
No.
What are these scientists doing with their time?
No. You know, are you self-conscious about it, Jim?
I mean, I make fun of it a lot. And you know what it is? I'm wondering, and I'm curious, I ask almost every bald guy I meet, at what point did you look at your hair loss and go, that's it, I'm shaving the head? That's because that's a decision. You got to look at yourself in the mirror and go, these strands that I'm clinging to, I would just look better if I shaved my head. What's that decision like? And what goes on with that one? Text us in.
I think it could be difficult for
people. I'd say it's real hard, man.
Like for me, like my hair is kind of almost like my safety blanket or something. I just find I'm really like attached to it in some senses. So I can kind of understand maybe sometimes, because a lot of people would say to me, would you ever think of chopping it up? And I'm like, I couldn't, I can't. If I try to go in, I can just about get a trim. So I can't, like, I'm sure for men as well, it must be such a hard thing, because, you know, I kind of use mine, as I said, as a bit of a crutch sometimes. Also, I can style it differently if I want to, and I can do these different things to it to change up my look. But I think it must be very hard for men, especially if they're struggling with, you know, with having to probably, I suppose, let go of the hair as well and say goodbye.
And you're struggling maybe with the aging process.
Yeah.
It's a mortality sign. It's a masculinity sign. It's tough out there for us lads.
Don't worry, lads. I think you're all handsome. Hair or no hair. All right, we're going to leave it there. Megan Scully and Jim Elliott, thanks so much for joining it. That's it from us on The Hard Shoulder. Thanks for your company all week. I will be back joining you on Monday at 4 p.m. for more on The Hard Shoulder. Have a great weekend.
The Hard Shoulder with the MG Hybrid and Electric range, celebrating 100 years of passion for the road. Recharge your soul.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.